This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Lord Jesus, help me to be faithful. Enable me to serve you, even by your Spirit. Help me to see what your angels are doing. Help me to cooperate. Help your ministry, even the ministry, I ministry of the Son of God, to prosper in this place today. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, give me spirit, give me utterance, give me life. Help me to shed life even to your sons and your daughters. Help me, Lord Jesus, to hit the mark, to hit the mark, even the mark in your heart, the mark in your servant's heart, even our daddy, Lord Jesus, the burden for which you put even in his spirit. Lord Jesus, help me, help me, help me. I receive help of your spirit even today in the name of Jesus. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Jesus. Kamo fa kaka pure kete bombi buniambulana. Spato pabre efrebeno kaki kalata ndoba. Smeyan talibunaki aponaki. Sapoke telemunaki. Pato pani apato pani tapakatama nikapaki. Ki mukara katota para katianto kaki. Take ki. Makato mene katse ti ki o ki hintu kickstarting quick walk specific anointing for to do a quick walk. Apiloke tenimana ganshilubani antabane to sevinianta. Seven grace. Bring key. I give key. Quickening. Access to quickening. Open. Things that have been sealed. Open. Portals. Open channels. Open vents. Open doors. Cause an opening to be initiated, even in men. Ableto palo bileto maketu vrante. A specific anointing. Anointing you with a specific anointing. Obrufetofitomtofulontomintokonda. Coined specially for a work to be done. For the work to be done here, for the work to be done here. Metro paprioteta preparations, preparations, preparations for this time. Preparations have gone forth. For I've brought them to a place of many ministrations, many, many ministrations, many angelic ministrations. I've brought them, and I've brought you even to join force with me, even to do that which I'm set to do, even to do that which I'm set to do. Oh, a place of many angels, many angels, many ministers, many minister. So join. Oh, my minister. Oh, my minister. A minister alongside. Oh, set the captives free. Set the doors open. Break the barriers and move. Move men. Move men. Move men. Move them again. Further in to the kingdom, said the Spirit of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 11, from verse 7, I read, "And as they departed," that is the disciples of John, whom John sent to Jesus, asking a question, said, "As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, for which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, they had not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent ticketed by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John." He said, "And if you will receive it," this is Elias, "which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." So, "But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows, saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. And we have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating and drinking, and they say he had a devil. But the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified," what? "Of our children." Amen. Thank God for the burden of the meeting and the trust of all the ministers so far. One of the things that we see is that the Lord concluded the affairs of redemption before he started it. Meaning that he had a whole generation of men play out their lives as types and shadows of everything that will happen. Now, if you don't understand the wisdom of God, you will not understand what he's doing. He does everything first in a mystery, then begins the actual play. So God concluded everything before he even started it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Part of the secrets or the mysteries of redemption was the life of John. John is not an ordinary prophet. He came at the final lap of the revelation of the secrets of God in human flesh before the actual beginning of fulfillment came. The book of Corinthians said, the church in the wilderness, that's the nation of Israel, that all of the things that happened in them were types and figures unto us to whom end of the world is come. Meaning that God represented in a type. God dealt with a generation, with a nation. God took a nation out of Abraham and began to demonstrate in them the wisdom and the intrigues of salvation. And demonstrated it to a point where that thing reached a crescendo, where that thing reached a fulfillment. Then it began to play it out in actual facts. So when you look at some of the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God is not without precedence. Every single thing that God is doing, he has done in a mystery. Every single thing that what God is doing, he has actually done. That's why scripture is bigger than you. The spirit that weaved scripture is not man. It's the spirit of eternity that weaved scripture. And there is nothing that is outside of scripture. All of God's program of salvation is scriptures. If you see God, you have to see God from the light of scriptures. Now, John the Baptist, because practically that's where the theme of the conference is drawn from. John was in prison and he sent a message to Jesus. Are you the one that we should expect? After such declaration in John chapter 1, you would not expect such utterances from John. Jesus was passing by the day after. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of men." So in John chapter 1, he said that he that is coming after me is mightier than me. The latchet of his shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He said, "I baptize you indeed with water, but he that is coming after me will baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire." Such affirmations from a prophet of that pedigree. Then sending disciples to Jesus and asking, "Are you the one that is to come? Or should we expect another one?" Then Jesus answered. He said, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." He healed the eyes of the blind, cleansed the leper, raised the dead. Go tell the John that the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised back to life. The poor have the gospel preached to them. He said, "Blessed is he that is not offended in me." So one, I've heard ministers say that John was already offended in Jesus because Jesus did not come to deliver him. Then he turned to the people that were remaining, his own disciples, and said, "What do you make of John?" The first thing he said, "Do you think he's a reed shaking in the wind? Do you think he's a reed shaking in the wind? Do you think that winds are swaying him?" That no. If you think because of what I've said that this man is unstable and actually wanted to turn, you'll be mistaken. That this man, John, is not a reed shaking of the wind. He's not Simon. He's not Simon. Because Simon is a reed shaken by the wind. He's not Simon. He said, "What do you make of John?" He said, "He's not Simon. Is he a reed shaking the wind?" No. He said, "But what went you out for to see? Many did not discern John." When I say discern John, not discern John for what the message is, but for what he stands for. Discerning of John in the program of salvation. Discern what John is fulfilling in the order of God. In the timeline of the things of God. Did you see John? Are you able to conceptualize and fully interpret what that vessel is interpreting all through eternity? Can you see the program of God that is being rolled out in him? What did you go? Because all of them went to the wilderness to see John, except for the Pharisees. But do you know the man you went to see? Is he a reed shaking in the wind? He said, no. He said, "Is he a man clothed in soft raiment or in purple?" He said, "The people that are clothed like that are in king's palace. You see, one of the things that you must know for this generation is this, that you can't love soft life and want to fulfill prophecy. No. You can't love what? Soft life. Now, there's provision for soft life in God. But if that is the lot you want, there are certain places you can't walk in. There is provision for what? Soft life in God. Because you can be at ease in Zion. If what you are looking for is, you can find ease in Zion, but woe unto you. Because if all that you've come to get in Zion is ease, then you have all men most miserable. Paul said, why then after the manner of men do we fight beasts all day? If the dead rise not, then let us eat and drink, and tomorrow we die. But if only in this life we have hope, because your hope can be in this life. You are not looking for a hope of anything to come. That there is no pursuit, there is no longing for what is to come. So he said, is he a man clothed in soft raiment? Is that where you find such people? Is in the king's palace. Is what? Is in the king's palace. But it's not in the king's palace that you find the fulfillment of the word of God. It's not in the king's palace you find what? The fulfillment of the word of God. Because the frame, that king's palace, is not the palace of the King of Kings. It's actually the making, the empires of men. System of men that has been established, that has become the hope and the pride of men. He said, what you went out to seek in the wilderness, is he a man clothed in soft raiment? He said, no. Such people are in the king's palace. He said, but what went ye out for to see? A prophet. Because as at the day that John emerged on the scene, the last time they saw a prophet was 400 years ago. Because no prophet had come by the word of the Lord. No prophet had what? Come by the word of the Lord. They had just experienced 400 dark years. 400 dark years. No prophet had come by the word of the Lord. So to find a prophet would have been a gem. But can I tell you? There were prophets amongst them. What did they say of Simon? So there were prophets that were not foretelling, but that were living. There were prophets that were what? Not foretelling, who were not sent to a nation. They were not sent to the nation, but they had strength of prophetic life. One of such prophets, can I tell you, was the father of John, Zacharias. That man was a high prophet of his day. But their prophetic expression was not to a nation, but was in ascension, strength of life. Strength of life. So, one of the things that Israel had gone blind to was the capacity to even discern who a prophet is. Capacity to do what? Discern who a prophet is. Because remember, from the beginning, prophets of God were not just marked first and foremost because they were sent to a nation. The first prophet that was mentioned in scriptures, Abraham, he was a prophet not because he was sent. It was because it was what? Journeying. He was a prophet because he was what? Journeying. He was seeing something and then journeying towards God. He endured as one who saw the invincible. What made Abraham a prophet was Not that he could hear God accurately. Now, anybody that seemed to hear God, if you hear God and tell somebody and they tell that the thing that you said is accurate, you're a prophet. You know, it is the fall. So you hearing God and hearing God clearly is not the mark of prophetic stature. But in a place and in a generation where people have gone astray, nobody can hear. The one that can hear becomes the prophet. Everyone that can bring forth a similitude of what seems to be like what God is saying becomes a prophet. But really, in God, that is not the hallmark of the prophetic life. That is for all of the children. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep, all of my sheep hear my voice. Remember also when Moses was praying for the 70. And then elder and midwife know with them they were in the camp. And then they began to prophesy where they are. And they said, I would to God that all of Israel were prophets. So the real calling of all of the people, the reason why God raised a Moses and Aaron was because something went wrong. God wants to be written on all his people, the prophetic life, the prophetic expression. God wants to write upon all his people the prophetic expressions that is in him. So I said, Zechariah and Elizabeth were prophets. They were prophets. How do I know? Let's see Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And in the days of Herod the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the house of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was what? Elizabeth. They were both righteous, not before men, but what? Before God. Now, pause before you quickly run. This is 400 years of darkness. Then a testimony of a man that walked before God, that eschewed evil. He looked like Job. He looked like a Job in a generation. He looked like a Job. He said he was righteous before God, walking in what? All the commandments. Then ordinances, that is the order of the house of God. He didn't miss one. He was keeping all the ordinances of the Lord. He was blameless in it. That means he didn't transgress any law. Because the matter of prayer should be keep what? Knowledge. Law. Knowledge. And you should seek the law of God from his mouth. So these people were keeping the law and the word of God. Because without it, you will break ordinances. The way you know order is that you stay in the word. Go and ask David. When David was zealous concerning the house, his heart was right. And he wanted to go and bring the ark of God. But he brought it upon ark. And then God made a breach upon Israel. The ark shook and Uzzah stretched forth his hand. And then a breach was made upon Israel. Then he was angry that God, I had beautiful intentions, but you slew a man. Then the ark went into the house of Obed-Edom. Then he went and inquired more accurately and saw that there are ordinances. There is an order for which you will bring it. So a man will not keep all the ordinances of God if he's not grounded in word. You will err in ordinances. You will err in ordinances. Because the order of coming in, the order, the manner of a man with his wife, he will not know. He will err. He will transgress. It's very, very, very easy to break order in the spirits. You just foul. Nobody sees it, but you fouled. You've broken a law. You've transgressed. But this man, despite 400 years of ethos, silence, there was strength, might of leg to keep the order of God. And note, it was not only that. You know that the priesthood was already corrupt. There were two high priests. Luke chapter 4. There were two high priests instead of one. And the high priest had become politicized such that, just imagine, you are the one serving under a corrupt boss and you're a righteous man. Yes, you didn't break any law. You didn't become a zealot. You know, it's easy to just overthrow those guys. Because you are just zealous for God. Just imagine what he will be stomaching every day. Like Bible says concerning righteous Lot, who was continually vexed in his spirit by the incessant corruption in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know that these people are violating the law of God. Yet, you keep the order of God without breaking any rule. That must be great suffering. To walk in a generation where everything is wrong, but you want to stay right. And Bible says, the Lord looked at them and said, they were righteous before him. In all the ordinances of God, they were blameless. From verse 5. And his wife, Aaron, and they were both righteous before God. I love the word. Say, walking. So both the man and his wife were both what? Two of them were walking. Now two of them, they journey together in life. Two of them, they journey together. The picture of an epic family fulfilling the mind of God. They were walking in all the commandments. This was not Ananias or Sapphira. Together, in the midst of their contradiction, obeying all the commandments of God, and they had lack, no complaint. The wife didn't ask the husband, oh boy, all of these things that we are doing since all these years, we no get picking. Would you not curse God and die? No, is that, didn't the wife of another righteous man ask him like that? So just imagine the substance of life that Elizabeth had inside of her that she didn't charge God foolishly. She didn't charge God foolishly. And Bible says they were well what? Well stricken. I love the word stricken. As if years had flogged them. Did he say well advanced? He said well stricken in years. As if every year was a flog. Why? Was a torment to their soul that all of these things that you are keeping, to what end? What do you have to show for it? You will be doing earlier than thou. Trying to keep the ordinance of 400 years, no witness. God forsook us, the Romans have taken over. But something kept them before the Lord. Not before the high priests, not before their peers, before the Lord. They were walking in all the ordinances. What were they looking for? Is it promotion to high priest that they were looking for? A higher hope had their heart. They were looking for something. No man lives like this unless he's looking for something else. No man lives his life like that. A higher hope must have apprehended you. Otherwise, you'll have gone for other alternatives. You have succumbed to the pressure. But they were looking. What made Abraham, Isaac, Jacob is also because they were looking for something. Hebrews 11, 13. He said they were looking all of this. The heirs of promise. They lived in caves, tents. Why? Because they were looking for something. They were looking for a better reality. He said, Abraham with also the fellow heirs of promise. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that what? They were strangers and what? Pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things, how did they say it? They were saying it with their life, not with their mouths. They were saying it with their life. Is the testament, the witness of a life that if this is what we live for, then we'd rather not do it. Their life was witnessing that they saw something. So they that say something, declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country, from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became prophets after that order because of what they were looking for. What made them prophets after that? They were looking for something much more than the present. And everybody that is looking for something much more becomes an heir of the prophetic life. Because what is using his life to fulfill is prophecy. The prophecy that God has spoken concerning man. So this is where the real foretelling is. That a man lives for something beyond this present. As long as all they are prophesying to you is in the present, it's not prophecy. They speak vanity to you. I'm not saying God doesn't give present. God gives it. But that is not the cocoa of prophecy. Prophecy is actually to deliver to you what is beyond here. That's the prophecy. That's the promise that God promised before the world began. That is Ganga prophecy. So when a man uses his life to look for that, the gene of the prophetic life awakens. He begins to walk in another order. So these guys, in a generation that was so perverse, they were devils. They were not looking for a child. They were not even looking for liberation from the Romans. They were just looking for God. And while they were looking for God, they maintained every order that there was. They were not rebellious. It is possible to serve God and look for God in the midst of a broken system. It is possible to please God and you not break any law. Remember, it is not the day that Jesus drove out those that was buying and selling. That was not the day they started buying and selling in the temple. They've been buying and selling. But somebody was there. He didn't see every order. He just fulfilled. And fulfilled his course according to his order of service. Then offered prayers. He didn't add anything to his own service. There was not inclusion of his own thing. I'm just trying to show you the family from where John was raised. Because if we don't see, we won't see the making of this man who they say is more than a prophet. We want to see from his foundation and what molded him into that prophetic stature. If God will show us mercy to pattern, because look, this word is not just to us, it's for our generation. God wants to raise out of your own home, out of your own family, a child that will be able to grow into such measure of prophetic stature. But if we begin to, by virtue of ignorance, begin to compromise things, you discover that God's hope for a generation may still be failed, even while we're here. These are things that, by God's grace, should be the burden of our prayer. Because it's not, thank God for all the sites from which where these things has been coming from. The burden has been treated. But where the Lord put in my heart is this, that we should see what makes this person. Because that should be the crux of our prayer. A labor should consume our soul as to what it takes to weave this kind of a man. And when we see where we are different from that, then we should pray. We should be burdened until a grace of the Spirit envelops us to beat us aright, to align us into the kind of man that God wants to emerge out of us. So, he said, they were both now well stricken in age, and it came to pass that while they executed the priest's office in the order of his course, according to the priest's office, his lot was what? Burnt incense when he went into the temple. He went in the order of his course. And the custom, he was what? Burn incense. He's been doing that years, seeking God. No addition, no subtraction. Thank God for Elijah. But you can see sometimes that you feel more righteous than God. You want to move the hand of God into your time. You want what? Move the hand of God into your time. And if we are going to be fair, there are certain instances concerning certain things which it seems as if you can move the hand of God. But concerning the timelines of salvation, you cannot. Because in this place, nothing of you is entertained. Nothing of you is entertained. When I said you can move the hand of God, some things can vary, like, say, healing. Now, I got to realize that in certain realm, in that realm, you're actually permitted to do some of those things. But if you take that principle, who clan and sing, and bring it to the realm, you will spite it! You will spite it! You will spite it! That's why Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I understood like a child. But when I became a man, I put away child. Meaning that there are some principles and rules that I used to walk with. But when I knew that they can't walk in this zone. They can't walk in this zone. They can't walk in this zone of life. Why? Because we are handling more sacred things. It's things of the world to come that we are handling. They are not made subject to the will of man. They are not what? Made subject to the will of man. So, you see, in certain sphere of operation, a person who has used, for example, milk and has certain privileges with God and has undoed a realm of authority, wielded a realm of authority, comes and thinks you are weak. Because you cannot take certain postures of faith. Not because God was not the one that answered it, but because things have changed. Levels are changed. You have to learn the order of this phase of operation. If you don't learn it, you will transgress. You will what? Transgress. You will break laws of the spirits. You will break laws of the spirits. For years, I pondered upon it. Why did Paul, whose aprons was taken from his body to heal people, why was he asking for mercy for Epaphroditus? Why was he seeking for mercy? I mean, it doesn't even need to be there. Just clothes. Just take it. Then this mercy was with you in your very presence. And you're asking for mercy. Kilo shele. Shall no eating Benny. Abolo badramo. That this same grace that you could use, that was as if it was just flowing. What happened? It's not. Didn't they say it's from glory to glory? I thought you should be going from anointing to anointing. Do you understand it? So that if it is local handkerchief now, it will be international handkerchief. That it will travel across the sea and then demons from around that place will be afraid of you because you have grown in anointing and in authority. But levels don't change. Administration has changed. And it's not because they grow weaker, but because they grew closer. Not because they grew weaker, but they grew closer. And the strength is not measured in more surrender. That you can obey will. You can endure the training of his will against yours. So, the more a person is growing in prophetic life, the dealing and training begins to shift from where the principles is first about the things concerning yourself and the things of the present to the things that belongs to Jesus and the things that serve the will of the Father. Amen. And the whole multitude of the people were praying about the time of the incense. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel of the Lord said, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shalt call his name, what? John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, but shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his womb. Now, the angel of the Lord came and started communicating to them the certainty of John's coming. We take it as the declaration of good news, Abby. But hardly do we see it as a commandment, as a burden. Hardly do we see it, what? Why? The word is, when they use the word shall, it's a thing that you are obliged to ensure it happens. It's not something that must happen. It's not would. There's a difference between shall, that is should, and would. Should means that it requires your involvement. It should happen. It shall happen. It shall happen. It's definite, but it requires your involvement. It's obligatory. You thought the angel just came and just delivered message and went. He gave them a responsibility that they are to use their life to ensure it happens. They are to what? Use their life to ensure that it happens. That why else will God give them the details of everything? Because they are core stakeholders in God's project. They are core what? Stakeholders. And God has fulfilled his part by telling you part of the things. And then the Lord is also a part in ensuring it. But it requires certain cooperation. I want you to see this thing. Because if you don't see this thing, we will talk prophetic life. But the wisdom of living it will be far away from us. We will not be able to cooperate with Holy Ghost in certain leading to weave that stature in our lives. He said, this child, say you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice, for it shall be great. Greatness in the sight of the Lord is not something that happened by happenstance. It's not something that will just happen by itself. He said, it shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither what? Nor strong drink, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. All of those burdens, they were also burdens or dealings, consecrations upon the life of spirit. Do you know, one of the questions I asked, you know, when it was 6 months, Mary came to visit her because the two had shared a kind of bond in their, even though Elizabeth was a much older cousin, Mary was a much younger cousin, but they had shared so much bond that the first trimester of Mary, she spent with Elizabeth. And you know, first trimester can be troublesome. Yet you are serving a much older cousin who was pregnant in her own last trimester. But so they were spiritual, they were prayer partners. Just imagine the salutation that they had together when Mary came. The baby leaped in the womb, and Elizabeth began to prophesy concerning the mother of our Lord, even though the Lord never told her. Guys were full of spirit. Now, that's not what got me. Do you know that these people were in Judea? Abi? 6 months later, when Mary and Joseph were coming to the same Judea, they said there was no place to stay. Where did she stay 3 months? For 3 months, 6 months ago. They were no longer in town. That means they went together to the wilderness. Because what he said was that the child grew and was in the wilderness in the day of showing. That means because from that time till the day of the show, maybe they went to the wilderness, they lived there and they died there because of John. Most probably. Since the day they understood the plan and the child was born. So they bore a burden with their life. Are you understanding what I'm saying? They were not just careless parents who were seeking the comfort of their own lives. They lived and breathed the will of God, even if it meant discomfort for them. So when you say, the man is a prophet, it's not because he's saying something with his life, that there is only one thing I live for. And once I find the will of God, there is nothing that is going to stop me from doing it. Once I discover that this is what the Lord is doing, heaven and earth cannot stop me. My comfort will not stop me. I will live to fulfill it. It is nowadays in church, you see, brethren who know the will of God. 3 months. Yes. Nothing is tearing inside. Even in matters as simple as marriage, you have a witness in the heart. This girl is the will of God because she shouts. No, you turn your eyes and you have effort, the courage in your heart to turn away and damn the consequences. You're not even up to a gnat, cockroach. You don't have the fear of God. Which man did you make that you say one is short? Which one did you make? You see, even one, you cannot make. Then you are complaining that one is dark. Hear the words of folly from the soul that is filled with foolishness. You don't know God. You don't fear Him. Don't fear Him. So, one of the dealings of the prophetic life is that a man is woven into a man who is submitted to the will of God in seeking it and in doing it. In seeking it and then in doing it. Once he finds the will of God, no going back. Because I cannot lay my hands upon this plow and look back. I have been saddled with a yoke that cannot be undone from my life. I have seen what I cannot unsee. I've become a slave of that which Jesus has shown to me. So when I receive the commandments of charity, I become a bond servant of it. I become what? A bond servant of it. I have no other alternative. I cannot unsee it. My soul cannot deny that I've seen the commandment. I cannot unsee it. The eyes that has been opened cannot be blinded again. So what I'm saying is, what the angel gave them was not just good news, was commandment. Commandment that they were to condition their lives or align with God. So when we say align with the angel, it's not just for ministration, it's for living. The question of Mary was, how shall these things be seen? I know not a man. And then they began to tell her. Then immediately she packed her bags and ran to Elizabeth. The other part of the prophecy was, the angel gave part. When she obeyed and responded to God, she got the other part. When Gabriel met Zechariah, he gave a part. Immediately he obeyed and wrote the name John. The other part came. He said prophesying. It was not the angel that lied. You see, what God begins to tell you, you don't know the fullness yet. It is when you begin obedience, in the process of obedience, that the full picture begins. Full prophetic expressions of the things that the Lord is saying begins to unfold. Until you take steps of obedience, you will never see what God is saying in fullness. You will never see it. So you wrote it down in your book. And for 3 months, 1 year, there's no step of obedience. He put a burden. He yoked them. When they say prophets are servants, what are servants serving? They are serving will. They are not servants because they are carrying things in church. It's because they have become tied to the will of one. And then their own will is being removed to a great extent. And when we are talking about a will, it's not just doing it in ministry. Because there's that delusion about will. The will of God is salvation to all men. No, you. You see, God will show us mercy. You see, it's not time to play with the will of God. Oh, what we live and breathe, what we serve and live for is to, what did they tell Paul? Say, God had chosen you to know his will and to what? See that just one. And that you may what? Hear the voice of his mouth. To know his will. to see that just one and to what? Hear the voice of his mouth. If you want to describe what the Christian faith is centered around, this is a good template. In a sense, to be a prophet is to know his will. In another sense, to rise into, when I say a prophet, not prophet as in prophetic office, prophet in life. Apostle, you have to see the just one. One of the things, argument of Paul is, have I not seen the Lord? You have to see. And seen, not as in prophetic, they have to give you revelations of the Lord. They have to give you revelation of the Lord. That you hear the voice of his mouth. There is nobody that will find God outside of these three things. And that is all that our Christian profession is about. Why am I saying these things? The labor of our soul is weak towards this thing. The labor of the average believer is weak towards these things. Now many people are preparing for 2026. How many people are crying, Lord, that I know your will. Even more, that I may see you. See the just one. When I say see the just one, that secrets of his life be broken for us to see, then may you hear the voice of his mouth. One of the things that are the burden of every prophet is to see the will of the Lord. What did Simon say when he saw Jesus? He said, hey, now thy servant can do it because I have seen the salvation of the Lord. I've seen the salvation of God. I've seen it. So that's what he was waiting for. Now let us thy servant depart in peace, for according to thy word, for mine eyes have what? Seen thy salvation. He is hot in the flesh. Look at the reason for staying in the flesh for Simon was to see salvation. There was no other reason for existence. He said, now you can let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, because somewhere God assured me that I will see the salvation of God. So the hope that is keeping me in body, it's not a new Nigeria. Thank God for a new Nigeria. It's not my children's children. Thank God for my children's children. But something more. Something more real. But for you, it is not just to see it. It's to embody it. To inherit. That there is a strong administration of the Lord that is given unto us to lead a life. And that thing can be the very sole reason why you live every day. Why you wake up. Why you go out. That is the one reason for existence. I will embody salvation of the Lord in my flesh. These people carried it as a burden. And then their life demonstrated it. Because that's the only thing they were looking for. Do you know, a priest's life is tied to the temple. So, living that thing was living source of livelihood, was living work, was living family, because all their family is doing the same work. It's a family business. So, John woke up at the Advent. He was detached from Aaronic ministry. The family heritage that he was born into, he was cut off from it. He was cut away from Judaism and all the lots and entitlements that he should have. As a son of a priest, he lost it. Some of us will wake up and start cursing our daddy and mommy. Your life will never tell. Which kind of life that you subjected me to like this? When my mates are eating meat from the cauldron, offering fats and this thing that they are bringing every day, offering for sin. Food is guaranteed. Your own lot is locust and wild honey. Some of us have cursed our parents. I mean, angry with them because you heard of some decisions that they made and then you are just angry. I remember in 2006, my dad was hired as an assistant controller general of prisons, now a correction facility in Abuja. He was a deputy comptroller general. So 2006, retiring, gave him one duplex in Abuja. So by the time he was retiring in 2006, he said Abuja is too expensive. And then he sold that property for 6 million naira. Duplex in Abuja. And now moved to Ibadan. Without consulting family. When I heard, I was angry on his behalf. You know what he will say? Who said two? Duplex. 6 million. 2006. I was seeing something. I was seeing something in the flesh. I saw possibilities. And every was something that was until the Lord came and said, Kintie. I said, did you see? You didn't see what he did. He said, what's your own? I said, don't you see? He's a waste. God was seeing covetousness. God was saying, all my scriptures, everything was. It was when I calmed down. I just said that I had an evil eye. Am I saying that we should be irresponsible? But God was seeing something much more deeply seated. I was angry with the man. Kai! Ah! He would have put you within the circle of Abuja boys. I learned everything na vanity. Everything is lighter than vanity. Ironi bobwe. I'm saying some people have pain inside concerning parents, concerning relatives because of some of those things. But what I'm saying is that John walked away from everything. Zachariah and Elizabeth walked away from, and John looked, he was above it. He was risen above all of the privileges because of the prophetic life. He saw the prophetic life in his parents. He saw that these people were higher than that system. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit, being in the wilderness 40 days. Now in the 15th year of what? The reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip being tetrarch of Iturea, the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of what? Zacharias, in the wilderness. Now, we are looking at John as a type, as a shadow of one who came into why Jesus said he is more than a prophet. He's a type. He's a type. John the Baptist and John the Beloved, they are both Johns. They are both Johns. John's told, they are showcasing things, similar things in different expressions. Now, in the midst of that system, John was grounded in the word. If you want to know John, look at Apollos. If you want to know the efficacy of the discipleship of John, you say the Apollos was a man mighty in scriptures, fervent in spirit. You see how thorough the discipleship of John was. That John was a word. He was not only filled with, he had spirit, but he was not anointed or ordained to give spirit. Yes, he had spirit, but he was not ordained to give it. So he said, I baptize you with water, but he that is coming after me is the one that will baptize you with spirits. So he stayed in his order, not because he did not have spirits. He could have given Apollos. You know, the Bible says Apollos need only the baptism of John. He didn't even know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not because John couldn't have given, but because it is not his order to give. But he gave them the fullness of what God mandated him to give. He poured every single thing. He showed the work of redemption. John began to baptize. Before John, they were using ram, goats, and to wipe to remedy. John started baptizing in water. He started baptizing in water as a prophetic picture of what was to come, of the remittance of sin, the washing of water by the word. He started baptizing with water because of prophetic alignment. Now, under the law of Moses, it's not water you used to wash away sin. But John began to live in another era. Just like they called you to leave the world to come in this. So John began to live in another dispensation before it opened up. By prophetic alliance. He saw it and began to live the reality of it. So what I'm saying is, you are not the first person that is ordained to live out of your time. A person has already done it even before Jesus came as a one who is sent to show the face. A type of it has walked upon the face of the earth that before his era came, not only him, even David, all of the prophets. So you are here and they are telling you, you have to live the life of the world to come before him. Now, and you are looking at how, look at John. Look at that man. There is a law that ran his life. Why was the priesthood against him? He was one of them. Then it's easy for them to just say that he's an heretic. His father, that is how his father ran away. Dereliction of duty. Ran into the wilderness. And then his father, the son, picked up from where his father, priests. They did not acknowledge his priesthood. Because to acknowledge his priesthood, it was the people that acknowledged the prophetic office of John. Because to acknowledge it is to agree that everything he's witnessing is true. And if they acknowledge, they won't have a basis to rejecting Jesus. Jesus asked them, John's ministry, is it of man or of God? They say, if we say it's of man, the people will stone us. If we say it's of God, they say, why did you not believe him? So they say, came back and said, we don't know. Jesus said, oh, me too, I will not say, me too, I will not talk to you. John lived in a contradiction that you have been called also to face. By living another times in the present. Grace will enter into your spirits. They said in that Luke chapter 1 verse 80. That John waxed strong. That and the child grew. And what? Waxed strong in the spirit. And what? He was in the wilderness. Or in the deserts. I love the word deserts. So he wandered from desert to desert. He didn't stay in one desert. He was in the deserts. So he used all of his life. You know, that boy was a typification, like the children of Israel. He completed all the deserts. That means he completed Christ. Wilderness of sin, wilderness of sin, wilderness of what? He completed all of the deserts, which typified the journey of all the children of Israel. He completed Christ and broke into a type of life, everlasting life. Unto eternal. The coronation of his life was his bearding. He fulfilled every stage. John fully calibrated that measure before Jesus came. So when Jesus said, who do you think you went to see? Can you fully discern this man? He is a witness. Even before me, that a man can fulfill all of this. Because Jesus actually came not just as a type. Jesus is the first of the new. John came as a type of the old. Jesus came as the first of the new. So what John fulfilled was that he was the last type of that era. And he fulfilled it showing fully in his life that man can finish this course. That in his life, man can finish this course. He's the last of the old. Jesus is the first of the new. So if I'm going to say, by two immutable things, or two irrefutable witnesses, God gave to you. He showed you in the old that it is possible. Showed you also in the new that it is possible. In the days of our flesh. In the days of our flesh. The child grew. Work strong in the spirit. One of the things that they are using this thing, this season to do, is to build strength in the spirit. Because if you are going to face all the journeys, then you have to have might. The same thing that Paul was saying in the book of Ephesians, that you'll be strengthened with might by the spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. So you see, you need might to bear Christ. You need might to do Christ. If you need might to do Christ, you need might to do everlasting life. This work is not for sissies. It's not for sissies. It's not for those that love soft life. Said, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing. And it's only the violence that press into it. That means there's a level of devotion, discipline, tenacity, passion, determination, resolve that you must exert to break into kingdom. Kingdom is not what will land on your lap on a platter of gold. You press into it. We love Acts 17. When the Bible says that he has ordained from the kingdom of God, bounds of our habitation that we may seek him. If haply we may find him, though he be not far from every one of us. 27, yeah. Therefore, he had made of one blood of all nations of men that to dwell upon the face of the earth, and had determined before the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation. Why? That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might what? Feel after him and find him, though he be not far from them. God can be here. And you will not find him if you don't seek after him, if you don't feel after him with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul, all your might. If all your faculty doesn't call out for God, you will never see him. Even though he's here. You know, new creation will tell you that God is here, God is here. Yes, but you may be here and you will never find God. He's not far. But the reason is that you should feel after him, seek him, if by any you can find him. God is so near, yet he's so far, because people do not see him. He said, those that seek me early will find me. Why they brought us to camp to a place without distraction is so that you can seek the Lord without distraction and then find, lay hold on the reality of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Lay hold on the reality of God. I challenge us on this mountain. You see, one of the things that we learn from Proverbs chapter 2, that it's impossible to find the knowledge of God without seeking. If it's impossible to find the knowledge of God without seeking, it's impossible to break into things of life without a hard pursuit. Without what? A hard pursuit. So keep yourself in the love of God. Looking for the mercy. Look, there's a search. There's a labor. There's a soul labor. Where many of us are weak is that there is no fire to seek. There is no fire to seek. There is no zest. When you get dazzled, you are numb. Yeah. All your faculties, because there's no endeavor. There is nothing. That's why we pray. That's why we pray. Because you need mercy for to seek. God has to bless you with something. That mercy is strength. That mercy is grace. He said, come boldly to the throne of grace. That you may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help. Because in the time of need, you need to know, do something, but there's no strength. He said, we've come to the place of birth and there's no strength to deliver. There's no strength to push. You have come to the place of birth, but there is no energy. Come, the seasons that are upon us is a season where we should birth something, but there is no strength. And when a mother is supposed to push, and then there is no, something happened. They brought a lady, 3 days in labor, no more strength. They were now rushing her. They would lay a ladder. Then by the time they took her, it pained me. The doctor was angry with the woman because he said, this woman would die. Because the baby was already distressed. And they did everything they could do. But the baby was lost. The mother was. What I'm saying is that it's a dangerous thing to come to the place of delivery and then there is no strength to push. One of the messages that God gives us in this is you must look for it. To come. Something must clothe us. Something must clothe us as a people for strength to look the way we ought to look for life. Zion should give birth to 2 types of children.
in Isaiah 66. One before travail, one after travail. He said, who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? For as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. Say, before she traveled, she brought forth. She was delivered of a man child. Then the second class of children is after travail. Now, these two classes of children, Zion has two births. One before travail, and the second after travail, the man child, and then the remaining of her children for the seed of Zion to form nature in the soul. There is need for travail for the fullness of the children to come, for the full seed of the children to come. I want us to pray. You need strength for travail. He said, shall I bring to the place of birth and not call to bring forth? Saith the Lord, shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? Saith thy God. God wants you to birth. The children is nature. Natures that God wants to birth through us. There are things that you bring forth without any labor. The remaining of your children, you bring forth with labor. There is that which doesn't require your input. There are other children. Every other children you bring forth after that time will require your travail. Talking about labor of the soul. Every children that you bring forth after the first, you will travail. Every other nature that will be birthed, you will travail. I want us to pray. You see, something will not be complete about this camp if something doesn't shift. When I feel that God wants to bring us into a place in the spirit where we have might to fulfill the calling. To fulfill the call, to fulfill the prophecy hanging over us as a people. God wants to bring us to a place of strength, might in the spirits. God wants us to walk strong in the spirit. That's one of the burdens of this camp, that we'll come to a place of strength to be able to fulfill what is ahead of us. Can we pray? I want us to pray. I want to pray. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for yourself. Pray that the Lord will bring us to a place of strength.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinwusinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.